Welcome, everyone. Let's just sit together for a couple minutes and wait for any others to arrive and just settle into the space together. Let go of anything that you've been occupied with today. And move into presence. So we'll just sit for a couple minutes. And then we'll begin. Can you guys hear me okay, by the way? Good. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. It's good to see you all. I think I recognize most of your faces. Before I begin, I also wanted to let you know I am going to offer at the end tonight an opportunity to go deeper and work together. So I just wanted to let you know before we keep that in mind, I guess. While we're going through tonight. So we're going to be exploring going beyond the limited sense of self. And so with that, I want to invite you tonight to see if while you're listening, to see if you can really just absorb what I'm saying without necessarily processing it or understanding it. And some of you might already do that naturally. I know for me, you know, I used to, when I was listening to a teaching or something like that, I used to process a lot in my mind. I would try to understand and analyze that was happening during the teaching. And so, you know, I don't really do that anymore, but I just want to invite you to kind of take that on if you can. And if you notice yourself trying to process or understand what I'm saying, that's okay too. But since the theme for tonight is actually going beyond our limited sense of self, which I, you know, you can also call it the conceptual self, the separate sense of self, the conditioned self. I just want to kind of invite you to take that on tonight, if you can. See if you can just listen and absorb it without too much intellectual processing and understanding or trying to figure it out, what it means. So with that, I will start with, you know, what is the limited sense of self? What is the conceptual self? And to me, it's really our capacity, our ability to self-reflect, the ability we have as human beings to self-reflect. And it's our sense of I, right? Our sense of being a separate, an individual with that, with our profound capacity to self-reflect. And so our minds are really, you know, this conceptual aspect of who we are is really a meaning-making machine, right? We make lots and lots, our minds are very good at making meaning of pretty much everything. Meaning about who we are, meaning about who others are, meaning about life and what we're doing here. And so this, you know, and our minds are amazing. They're useful for a lot of things in life. But they also keep us stuck in profound limitation as well. Right? And so when we're utilizing this capacity to self-reflect, when we're identified with our thoughts, that is the mechanism that creates this sense of separation, right? Because there's a gap between what is, what actually is, and then our interpretation, our conception of what is, our meaning making of what is, right? There's a gap there. And it creates the perception and the illusion of separation, right? Like that's what creates the separation. It's being, it's that sense of ourselves that we all experience as human beings. It's part of the human experience. And so even just right now, right, if you notice whatever's happening within yourself in this moment, right, there's probably some sense of separation, like between, you know, you're a person, I'm a person, everyone here, we're all people. And there's kind of a sense, there's an inner sense of separation generally, right? And that's very, very normal. Our perception of reality tends to be a very solid, heavy, you know, there's a deep sense of physical matter, and it creates this deep sense of separation. And so you might notice thoughts arising in your awareness right now. You know, there might be thoughts coming. You might be engaged with them, you might not be, you might just be listening to me. With a quiet mind, right? But the thought, you know, our thoughts appear to us like they're in our minds, they're in our heads. It's kind of the location of them. And it feels like it's us, Like it actually feels like it's us. These are my thoughts. These are my personal thoughts that are rising in my head, and it's me. And so this is how we view, this creates this profound limitation in how we view the world. Right? We view the world through this profound distortion and filters of our mind. And so just being aware that there are thoughts arising is like a step in the direction of moving beyond the limited sense of self, right? Just having the awareness that, wow, I have thoughts. I have these thoughts arising, right? There's an awareness there, which is really important. Right, because some of us, I wouldn't say anyone here, I'm assuming, I think everyone here has been on the path for a long time. But some of us, we might go our whole lives without ever like being so totally, utterly immersed in our thoughts and feelings that there's not even enough awareness or space there to even realize, like, well, there's thoughts arising, right? We're like so utterly engaged and in reactivity, and it's all, our perception of reality and our experience within ourselves is just, we're just fully engaged with that, right? So I think all of us here, obviously, we probably generally rest in some depth of awareness on a regular basis. So that's like the first step. So, I'm just speaking of this because I think sometimes it's important to really try to name what this is, right? Because it's so inherent to who we are, to our sense of who we are, our thoughts, and we can be so deeply embedded inside of the conditioning and the pattern and our perception via our thoughts that it's right that there's lots of subtle layers to this. So we become more and more and more aware of the subtlety of a lot of this stuff, of our patterns and our conditioning, as we go deeper and deeper on the path. But it's like you can probably see, right? The more we understand, the more we have figured out, the more we're identified with or attached to our opinions and our belief systems and our meaning making and our ideas and our interpretations, right? Like that all exists in the conceptual realm of our being. Which is this kind of lim it's a very it's actually a very limited surface aspect of who we are. And the more, so it's like, wow, the more, we might naturally think, oh, well, the more knowledge I've accumulated about life and about all of these things, like that's a beautiful thing. And in some ways it can be a good thing. But it's really all limitation. It's really all it's just like an accumulation of stuff in our minds that keep us inside of limitation. There's not space, there's not awareness. If we're super consumed and occupied by all of the information and stuff, it's almost like, we think we need to our minds is like having a database, a repository of information that we think we need. Oh, I might need to pull from this information or this understanding or all of this stuff I have figured out about life that I've accumulated over, lifetimes that have maybe been passed on to us through our ancestors, from our childhood, all of the conditioning, all the stuff we've accumulated through external information sources, all the stuff we've learned, right? We think, oh, I might need to pull from this at some point in the future. So it's almost like we kind of want to keep that stuff there, ready and available just in case we need it at some future moment. Right, but when our attention and awareness is on all of that, on our thoughts, on our understanding, on our beliefs, when we're like fully engaged in that and identified with that, right, it prevents us from seeing reality as it actually is. It prevents us from having a much more open, wide open view and vantage point from which to view reality in the world, right? So it's like the less of that stuff that we're engaged with or identified with, the less our attention and energy is inside of all of that, the more we're just wide open to see, our depth of perception actually starts to shift and change. We're open to infinite possibilities. If we're stuck inside of some belief system, we're inside of that belief system, which means we're not open for possibilities that exist outside of that belief system. And so this, I also want to talk about the emotional feeling state, that it's kind of the, these two are tied together. Our bodies and our minds, right? They're tied together. And so it's the same thing with the emotional state, right? We experience emotions. It's part of the human experience. All kinds, a whole realm of emotions that we get to experience on Earth. And so the same thing can happen when we're in an emotional state. Sorry, I just got a message. Thank you, Sandy. Right, it's the same thing. We can get totally engulfed and lost in our emotional state. And usually with those emotions, there's the meaning making of the mind that creates all kinds of stories about either about the emotional state, what it means, who's to blame, why we're experiencing what we're experiencing, right? There's all kinds of stuff that comes up in the mental conceptual realm that's tied to the emotional realm. And so it's the same thing. We can be, we're very, and when we're inside of that, right? When we're inside of that, it feels like it's us. Like it feels like it, that's all there is. And we take it very, very personally. Right, so this is all normal. But, so why is it important that we break free from our identification with the more limited surface aspect of who we are, which is basically our emotional and mental conceptual part of ourselves, which is a big part of being human. But why is it important that we break free from this? From our identification with that being who we are, right? Because there's more, there's a deeper aspect to us. Because, evolution and expansion and, higher consciousness, like it requires that we break free. A lot of this stuff is, it's just conditioning, it's patterns, it's cellular memory, like from past experiences and stuff that we bring into the present moment, right? So it's like a lot of us are playing out patterns and conditioning. And so we have to break free from our identification with that if we truly want to, participate in the expansion and the evolution of consciousness. Consciousness, pure awareness, the divine, source, whatever you want to call it, needs space. It needs people who are open and available for it to, come down and integrate into physical human form and made manifest onto this planet, right? And if we're like super busy and occupied with all of our thoughts and all of that stuff, there's no space. There's no space. And so there's a few ways that, you know, this plays out in life. There are people who go their whole lives kind of, you know, never having an awakening experience. They just live their whole lives totally and completely identified with this more limited aspect of who we are. And I think that generally tends to be a life, you know, full of struggle and suffering. You know, and you know, some people can be fairly content, you know, living inside of that, just staying really safe and comfortable. And then there are those of us who have an awakening experience, and we realize, oh my gosh, we've had an experience, or we've touched, you know, the deeper, mysterious aspect of who we are. Right? We start to become captivated by that. Like, wow, there's something, there's a deeper dimension to who I am. And so when that happens, and that usually happens, I would say for most people, maybe not everyone, but it usually our dissatisfaction, right? Our suffering gets to a place where it becomes so intense that we have no choice but to awaken. It's like the universe, you know, giving us the dissatisfaction, showing us that our life is essentially too small for us, right? Like there's potential. We have more potential that wants to break through, that wants to come through. And so that's kind of the way it usually happens, I think, for most of us. And then the seeking begins, right? And then the seeking begins, the spiritual path begins, the journey begins, we're captivated. And so we start seeking, we start reading about it, we start taking courses, we do all kinds of things, right? But this is largely done from within this limited aspect of who we are, from inside of this perspective. And that's fine. I mean, that's just the way the path works. Right? And so naturally, kind of, what we're doing initially, at least for some amount of time on the path, is we're chasing, you know, we're essentially chasing after some feeling state or avoiding some feeling state. You know, it's like we're chasing, you know, we get on the path, we start seeking because it's like, ooh, I want to avoid, I don't want to accept this dissatisfaction. I want to chase peace. So it's like, it's almost like we're, you know, just, this is an example, but we're chasing a, you know, oh, once I become enlightened, once I finally get to some destination, I will finally just feel peace. You know, peace is an example because that is a quality of higher consciousness. And so we kind of just play this chasing games or, you know, the trying to control and manipulate, change our thoughts. You know, there's a lot of teachings out there directed towards, oh, changing your thoughts, having more positive thoughts, right? There's a lot of stuff out there that's really directed to this limited sense of ourselves. So we're busy still kind of trying to change this limited aspect of who we are. And we're trying to get to access our true self from this limited self, but our limited self can't actually know our true self. Like this is like the really tricky, challenging part of the path, right? I mean, it can take years and years to have the realization of like, oh, that part of me can't actually know the deeper part of me, but it's like that part of us that's striving, that's efforting, that's seeking. And so this is where, like, this is the key distinction that I want to make tonight, that really, you know, when we have a deep realization of this, and maybe some of you, already have this, but it really can fundamentally change everything. You know, not necessarily change circumstances and you're like, but everything is different. You start to, you have a fundamental shift in your sense of being and your perception and kind of where your vantage point, where you're viewing from. There's not as much distortion. And so that is, right, like it's the realization that we don't have to, I'm going to use peace as an example. It's the realization that we don't have to feel peaceful in order to be at peace. Right? Or we don't have to have a totally quiet mind or only think positive thoughts to be at peace. Right? Because, and again, I'm using peace as an example. It's love, you know, same thing. We don't have to feel love in order to be loving or to rest in a, you know, a deeper sense of true love, you know, the love that exists beyond the emotional, our emotional sense of love, and our, all of our ideas about what love is. But, right. So this is like, this is really like this shift in identification, right? This is so important because, right, like because we spend a lot of our time on the path, you know, kind of, you know, from inside of our limited sense of self, but it's like we're trying to, we think we kind of have this sense that the destination is, ooh, I'm going to feel peaceful. One day I'm just going to feel peaceful and my mind is going to be quiet. And then, you know, I'll be enlightened and everything in life will be fantastic and great. You know, but that's not it. Like, that's not actually it. Because our, this limited sense of self, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, right? Are, it's like a, they're always changing. That part of ourself is always, it's kind of chaotic. You know, it doesn't always have to be chaotic. And I think the deeper you go, I mean, this is kind of the paradox, the deeper you go, that part of you actually does become less chaotic. But that being said, right, we're always going to experience different emotions and, you know, ups and downs and all kinds of stuff and thoughts, right? But the part of us, our true self, the part of ourself that we want to access and embody and rest inside of and actually become identified with, right? Like you actually, it starts to become your sense of who you are, like at a really deep level. That part of ourself is always already at peace. It, you know, it's always already loving. It's where the, you know, it's where the truth already exists. So it's there, even if we're not feeling it, right? So you right now could have anger racing through your body, like literally an emotional state of anger, and be at peace at the same time. Right? Because the peace, it exists at a depth beyond the emotional state. Right? So if the anger is racing through your body, right? Like you can feel it as an emotional, you know, or anything, sadness. I mean, it can be any emotion. Right. So most of the time, though, when that happens, again, like I mentioned before, there's a lot of thoughts that come up and we can be in reactivity to that very quick. It can happen very quick. And so the pattern continues. When we're in reactivity and we're engaged with the story around the anger, for example, that pattern, it continues in our life. But when we can be at peace, right? Like there's a deeper part of you that can be at peace, even when there's anger, right? So you're basically allowing that anger to melt and dissolve into the peace that's already always here, right? You're at peace with the anger. And when you're at peace with the anger, you don't have to react to it. You don't have to make decisions or choices based on it or inside of it, right? So we're shining our awareness and our presence and our peace and our love on the anger. And again, I'm just using this as an example. I'll hopefully open something up, right? But that peace already, it's already always here. And so a couple things happen when we start to embody this realization and have a really deep, you know, a direct recognition, a really deep sense of like that we're not our thoughts and feelings. I mean, it's a part of us, right? But it's a limited part of us. It's such a very limited aspect of who we are. All right, so one of the things that happens is that we no longer give our attention and energy to chasing feeling states or trying to, you know, change our thoughts or, you know, control our experience, right? So normally we give a lot of our daily energy and attention to that, you know, whether we're, it could be coming from a very subconscious level, like the choices and decisions we're making. You know, we might choose a job, but underneath choosing that job, it's coming from, I want to be happy. You know, we're generally chasing these states. But, you know, once we have this deep realization, we start to lose interest in our thoughts, in our mind, in what's going on there. Right? It starts to have less power over you. You become more and more and more captivated by this deeper sense of who you are. You become more captivated by the peace and the love that exists beyond, at a depth beyond that. Right? So your attention and your energy is given more to that deeper aspect of who you are. The thoughts still arise. And the emotions still arise. But so this is like a journey, it's a practice. But having the realization first, right, it can change everything. It'll change the practice. It'll change the, you know, I believe it'll dramatically accelerate the process. I mean, whether that's true or not, I can't say for sure. But for me, it has. And right. So as less of our energy and attention is no longer, right, we're no longer spending our life's energy trying to control and manipulate things and control our, you know, our feeling state, chasing after them, avoiding feeling states, right? We start to access more of this deeper truth of who we are. There's more space, there's more awareness available within us for that part of us to start to emerge, right? It's not really us. So again, this is the tricky part, right? Our limited sense of self is, you know, wants to access that part of ourself, but it can't. It's really the giving up, the surrender of that part of ourself, the losing interest in that part of ourself. We're not giving it as much of our energy and attention. So there's space and availability within us for the deeper aspect of who we are to start to come into us, to emerge within our experience. And so As this happens, we naturally, I mean, can't imagine anybody wouldn't, but we become more and more captivated by that. Like, we want to give our life to that part of ourselves. And this is where expansion and transformation and growth happens, right? Of course, our smaller sense of self, right? Like, we can change, we can experience change and improvements in that part of ourself. We can go to the gym and start eating healthy, and all those things are positive, right? But the deeper expansion and transformation and growth, it happens inside of this deeper aspect of who we are. It's like that part of us is what actually starts to expand and evolve and grow within us, like in physical form, manifestation. You know, but we have to be open and available. And so that's why, you know, I wanted to talk about, this shift in identification, because when you can really get that, it can dramatically, you know, shift the process and shift everything in your life. Right. And again, it doesn't mean that, you know, the challenges are going to go away, or, personally, my mind has gotten much quieter over time. I mean, my mind is nowhere near as crazy it is. So I think what appears to happen is, now I don't want to go too deep into this because this is kind of a different topic, but, we will actually get into this. I'm going to be offering, like I said, an opportunity to go deeper, which we'll get into in the course I'm going to be offering. But so, as you know, I gave the example of anger, and we can be at peace. We can be okay. Really, you know, the word okay is a good word to use. We can actually be okay, even if we're feeling anger, or we're feeling fear, or depression, or what, you know, whatever it is, any kind of discomfort. But what happens is, it's like, as we can be at peace with that and then fully accept and embrace that part of ourselves, you know, just the anger in and of itself, it's like the moment we can be at peace with that and we're embracing it, the pattern of the story associated with that starts to break up, right? And so initially, you know, when it comes to a very strong emotion inside of us, it feels very, it's very, you know, there's a charge in our body, there's a polarity, and it feels very real, the story, and there's a story associated with it, and that. But what happens over time, as we can access this deeper part of ourselves, as we can be at peace, the peace that's already always here in the midst of the anger, is that story starts to break up, that pattern starts to break up. So those thoughts might arise again in the future, and you know, they might just dissolve altogether. They might just leave your consciousness. You know, this is just one example, right? But this is happening for a lot of people, like all day, every day, like what I'm speaking about here. I'm trying to simplify it and make it really practical and break it down. But if the thoughts do come back, you know, there won't be as much charge in the body associated with them. So it's a lot easier to lose interest in them, right? When there's a strong charge in the body, it's much more challenging to lose interest, because there's that, you know, there's a lot going on there. But just random thoughts, you know, that have no charge in our body, that, you know, those are generally easy. We can notice those thoughts and just like swat them like flies. You don't even pay attention to what they say. It's not a big, it's not, that's a lot easier. And so, yeah, so this is what happens. This is when we can make this radical shift of like, oh, I can be okay even if I don't feel okay. Because it's not, because that part of me, it's just a very limited aspect. It's just a feeling. It's something arising in awareness, which is, our deeper awareness is who is really the truth of who we are. Pure awareness. The awareness that's aware of me speaking right now. Right? There's just a pure, there's awareness that exists always. And so the quality of this awareness though, right? Like this peace, the love, the clarity, the purity, the revelation, the liberation, the freedom. Like these are that's like the quality, this higher state of consciousness, the deeper truth of who we are. And it starts to become our sense of who we are. We actually start to become identified with that. So I really hope you guys can kind of feel, I'm hoping you can actually maybe feel the feel it within yourself. All right? We all have to have the realization within ourselves. Nobody can do it for us, but so with that, I wanted to just sit, maybe do a little short, maybe 10 minutes. We can just sit in meditation together and let's really just let's rest in, and identify with this space that is here with all of us, right? You can Maybe you can feel the quality of the space that's here, this awareness, the spaciousness between all of us. So let's just rest. In this deeper truth, right? This spaciousness, the awareness. That exists beyond the thoughts. And you can ask yourself, what is it that's aware of the thoughts? Notice the quality of depth that's in the space between us. Notice how your thoughts are just a bunch of activity and entertainment for the mind. It's not really you. It never was. It's just entertainment for the mind. To keep the mind busy. Okay, you can end the meditation whenever you're ready. So thank you all so much for being here. I really appreciate your presence and just your desire to participate in the evolution of consciousness in this work. So I'm gonna be offering a 7-week course starting next year. It starts on January 18th, so it's on Wednesday evenings at the same time as this call. And so it's a 7-week course, and it's systematically designed to reveal your, our higher and deeper purpose. And to bring that into fuller expression in our lives, because this has kind of been what my journey's been about and what I love. And so it cuts straight to life's true meaning. And so if that's something that sounds interesting to you, Jeff will be emailing the recording of this tomorrow, I think. And he should include a link to the course registration, if you guys want to go read more details about that. There will be details on kind of what we'll be exploring in each week. So if that sounds interesting, I absolutely want to invite you to join. I would love to have you there. I would love for us to work together, open together, go deeper together. Continue this exploration. And with that, we have a couple minutes left. If anyone has, I wanted to leave just a little bit of space in case anyone has a burning question or something they want to ask. Please feel free.
Okay. Hi, Danielle.
Hey, James. Good to see you
I,
again.
yeah, likewise. I enjoyed your talk. Hey, Google, stop. Sorry. Oh, yeah. My question was, we were talking about how not to identify with the limited self. So, any suggestions on how to not do that?
Yeah, so it's kind of what I talked about, right? So the first to not identify it, the first thing is to, right, have the awareness or the realization, which we can't really do it mentally, right? You can understand that you're not your thoughts or feelings, but that's not going to give you the deeper sense and embodiment of it. So, but the first step is like, no, having the awareness or the realization of that. Like, okay, I'm not my thoughts or feelings, right? So maybe you can do some deep contemplation on that. I mean, these are just suggestions, but ultimately it's a pro it's to not identify with that part of ourself. It's a practice, right? It's an actual practice of like, well, of course, sitting in meditation is a beautiful, has been a beautiful practice for me in my own life that has allowed me to kind of have this deep shift in identification. But even in our everyday life, right, you can notice when you're like really engaged with your thoughts, and the moment you notice it, I think I was sharing this with you the other day, but the moment you notice that, right, you're like back into awareness. And it's like, oh, I'm identified with that. Like, notice when you're deeply inside of an opinion or a belief or an idea or whatever it is, like, just notice the attachment to that. Notice your identification of like the sense of it being you, and like kind of how much power, it has power over you in the sense that you might make decisions based on that. which if you do, it's okay, but it's just noticing. It's this constant practice of like aware, resting in the awareness, the deeper awareness. And of course, like I said, meditation is a fantastic practice to deepen that all the time, but we can also do it in our everyday lives. One of the things I want to bring to the world is, I didn't live in a spiritual community for 20 years, like Jeff, right? But like, I want to bring the, more practical, it's the year 2022. We can't all move to India and sit in meditation for 5 years or whatever, right? So I want to bring a more practical way or method to actually deepen our awareness, to access the deeper truth of who we are. And this is how we can do it in our everyday life. Or, if you're noticing the emotions, like I was talking about the emotional state, the anger, notice when you're inside of that, and then just become aware and relax with it, embrace it, right? Embrace it through relaxation without being in the reactivity of it, without needing to fix it or change it or run from it or make it wrong or judge it or criticize it. It's like, just be with it, right? So it's just this ongoing practice of resting in the awareness that's aware of all the stuff that's happening on the surface, this limited sense of self. And is that helpful?
Everything you say, Danielle, was helpful. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Well, again, thank you all so much for being here. I really, really, truly do appreciate it. It warms my heart that, there are people in the world interested in this. And of course, I know most of you, I think, are probably from Jeff's community. So, I'm grateful to him as well. But thanks again so much for being here. Look for the email with the recording and a link to the course I'm offering starting in January. I would love to have you there. And I'll also be doing another call next month too. So feel free to join a free call. Feel free to join that as well if you want. And I hope you all have a lovely evening or day, depending on where you're at in the world. And I hope to see you again soon. Much love to all of you. Thank you so much. Feel free to unmute and say bye if you want.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.